I love the sound of babies. Didn't it just make you like smile? And I know there are mothers in the room that are saying they're not all happy sounds all the time. And I know that too. If you turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 9, please. I'm going to do a non-traditional, conventional, whatever, Mother's Day sermon today. Because like I said earlier, you know, if I just preach to mothers, then there's stuff that doesn't apply to a portion of the people here. But I think I have something to encourage everyone today. And that's what I want to do. In Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 36, it says this. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in the upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with him. Peter sent them all out of the room. He got down on his knees and he prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Now you may be sitting there thinking, what does that have to do with Mother's Day? Well, in this scripture we read this morning, we have the story of a lady named Tabitha. She was not just an ordinary woman. She lived in the city of Joppa. She was a woman who did ordinary, everyday things for ordinary, everyday people. She didn't preach before thousands. She didn't stand before governors and kings. She didn't write a powerful theological set of commentaries or make amazing achievements. She simply served those who were in need. She simply did what needed to be done, but she did it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now for us, Tabitha is one of those people who's almost a footnote in Scripture. She is someone who many of us pass over when we read the Bible. For us, Tabitha is a minor character in the building of the early church, a person of no real significance. But listen, for God, Tabitha is so significant that He raises her from the dead. And at this point in the early church, persecution had erupted and was the believers were in hiding most of the time. But Tabitha, she's there. She's doing what Tabitha always does. The Christians have scattered, fleeing the wrath of Saul, later known as Paul. But when he was Saul, he was charged with eliminating the church. Many people have died. They've been martyred. They've been executed for their faith in Jesus. And as we arrive here in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, all those people that have died for Jesus, none of them have been brought back to life, except for Lazarus and Jesus himself. Even Stephen, we read about Stephen. I mean, he was like, if you're going to have a model other than Jesus, Stephen would be right there, and he was the first martyr. But God didn't even bring Stephen back to life. He was stoned for preaching the word. Tabitha is the first person that God raises from the dead after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Tabitha is so significant in the eyes of God, so important to the continuing work of the building of the kingdom, that God needed to have this woman brought back. This woman, who others might pass by on the streets without a second look, is so significant that the building of the early church just can't happen without her. This woman, who we pass over as a footnote, is the one who God deems the only one among thousands who is significant enough to bring back from the dead. And I don't understand fully that, but I know that that's the case because that's what we read in Scripture. She was brought back, the others were not. Did you know that not one of the single disciples that were killed, not one of them was brought back from the dead? Yet Tabitha was. Significance in the kingdom of God, it turns out, is not defined by accomplishment. It's not defined by status or religious power or popularity or impressive book sales if you're an author or a speaker. Or, I mean, to my knowledge, the Reverend Billy Graham is still in the grave. Okay, and you would think that if there was anybody on earth at this time that could be brought back from dead, it would be Billy Graham. And folks, he's still in the grave. It has nothing to do with our concept of what we think is significant in life. We live our lives in various ways. We attempt to become people of significance, right? I mean, we do. We want to stand out. We want to be noted. We want to be the best mom. We want to be the best dad. We want to be the best employee. We want to be the best boss. We want to be the best at what we do. We want to stand out. We work hard to try to become the best. We believe to be significant, we need to conform to society's ideas of success. What they say is successful, or prominent, or even of reputation. Certainly, striving to be the best and striving to accomplish is not a bad thing, okay? In fact, as Christians, we should strive for excellence in our work. But as Christians, we should be very concerned with this question in all of our striving. And here's the question. Am I striving to be a person of significance for my own benefit? Or am I striving to be a person of significance for the benefit of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Could our striving for significance be in vain? Society teaches us that the more significant we are, the more impact we can have, right? But our scripture this morning contradicts that. Look at verse 36. There in our passage. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. Tabitha lived in Joppa. Joppa is on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, and it's now part of modern-day Tel Aviv. Rebecca, when we went swimming, that was in Joppa. I've been there, swam in the Mediterranean Sea, right in this place where the story takes place. The name Tabitha. Let me teach you a little bit about Tabitha. Tabitha is Aramaic. It's Aramaic for a word that means gazelle. The same name, Tabitha, in Hebrew is Zambia. Guess what they have a lot of in Zambia? Gazelles. The book of Acts translates her name into the Greek, Dorcas, which also means gazelle. Now, Dorcas is not the most romantic name to say, gazelle among the three languages. But why would Acts put in there, also called, which is translated, Dorcas? We see that the name Dorcas comes from a root meaning to see, to look, to observe, to see with our eyes. And so, I think that maybe when Luke wrote this book, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he's pointing out that right up front that Tabitha has the ability to see what's important to the Lord. I think that might be the truth. She's noted as a person who is willing to help those in need. She's a person of faith in action. Well, she gets sick and she dies, and they're ready to bury her. So they bring her up to the upper room in the house, and they place Tabitha upstairs, and they call for Peter. And we don't really know what they were expecting and why they called for Peter. You know, maybe they were thinking that maybe there could be something done for her. I really don't know, but they called for Peter. Maybe they didn't even know what to expect. Maybe they just said, well, we know that Peter was with Jesus, and somebody get Peter. Usually in the upper room of a residence, it's the smallest room in the house. Okay, it's usually a very, very small. Yet when Peter arrives and he goes up there, a number of women have gathered in the room where Tabitha is laid. Mourners. They're gathered at the bedside. And usually this is the relatives. The relatives are mourning the loss of their loved one. But that's not what we find here in this case. It's widowed women. These people are not related to Tabitha. They're the first ones to show their great sorrow. This just goes to show how much she was loved. This shows what a great impact she had on the community. Those gathered around there were not obligated to be there. But it's those whose lives have been impacted by her and by her love that gathered together. Okay? And the scripture here is not talking about just random acts of kindness. You know, it's not talking about if she didn't walk by and drop a coin in their hat or something as she walked by. No, it's something more significant than that. We're talking about the power of the person of Jesus Christ transforming something small, something we think is insignificant, something we may see as a mindless detail. This is about Jesus Christ taking the ordinary things that we do, molding them, and making them something powerful in people's lives. Well, Peter arrives and he heads up to the upper room, and there the women are gathered, and they present to Peter what Tabitha had done for them. It says here, let's see, in verse 39, they were all standing, the widows were standing around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with him. It's like a fashion show. He walks in, they're saying, oh, look, she made me this and made me that. And this is what Tabitha made for me. Thinking about Tabitha, they were in effect saying something like, I literally had nothing to wear but rags, but this woman, she gave me my dignity back. She touched me. She mended this. She fixed that. She repaired that. She made this. Now it appears that Tabitha did some sewing and she sewed for them, but it's more likely that she did a lot more than just sewing. You see, she was a need meter. I want to note that Tabitha, she didn't write a check. She just did what needed to be done. They need food? I'll get it. They need housing? I'll find it. They need something to wear? I'll not only get it, I'll make it. This passage is also the only time in the entire New Testament that the word up here, I'm going to show you real quick in verse 36. Says, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. Okay? Tabitha's a woman. This is the only time in the New Testament that the Greek word for disciple is used with the feminine ending on it. Okay? Normally, in every other instance where you find that word in Scripture, it has a male ending. In many languages, you have the same word, you just change the letter on the end to identify that you're talking about a man or a woman, okay? And Greek is one of those. And this is the only time in the New Testament that word disciple is used to describe a woman. And I think that's significant. Peter gets down on his knees and he prays for Tabitha and he tells her to get up. And she does. And Acts 9:42 says, this became known all over Joppa and many of the people believed in the Lord. I've chosen this scripture on Mother's Day because I think it represents what our mothers have done for us throughout all the years. And it represents what those who are moms here do today for their families. And if you're a mother, I'm sure that you could compile a long list of minor, insignificant things that you do for your family every day. Things that society as a whole would ignore. That would walk by and deem as just ordinary and insignificant. But I think that all of you know how untrue that statement would be. You know that the small, ordinary things are done for your family and others. They're not a waste of time, nor are they things that can be ignored. And you know that despite the many who believe the things you do are insignificant, you know how powerful they can be. Matter of fact, if you're not sure how powerful the little things you do are, just stop doing them for a little while. People will notice. If you think they don't notice, if you stop doing them for a little while, they will notice. Because I just know that at my house, and when I grew up, if it wasn't for my mother and now for Rebecca doing the things that she does day in, day out, things that go unnoticed behind the scenes, my life would be a wreck. Can I get an amen from any man in the house? Okay. I just making sure I didn't put y'all to sleep yet. But I also want to point out that for all of us here, it's not simply that Tabitha did ordinary things for others that makes her life so powerful. No, it's that Tabitha did ordinary things for them in the name of Jesus. And that's what made her life a powerful life. So powerful that God brought her back from the dead. The insignificant becomes significant through the person of Jesus Christ. So, on this Mother's Day, let us remember the insignificant. Let us remember the ordinary. Let us remember to step out and do those things that other people may ignore. For in the kingdom of God and through the name of Jesus Christ, the insignificant become significant. And I think I was led to this message, and you've heard me, and I'm not going to shut up about it until I find the song. It's not always the mind-blowing, awesome things, the earth-shattering things that happen that make you worth something. Okay? First of all, God says, before you've done anything, I count you worthy. He gives us worth. But more than those occasional big things, it's the little things we do every day. It's the touch. It's the smile. It's the handshake. It's the word of encouragement. It's the little task, the detail, the chores, or whatever it is. It's those things that we do day in, day out that make a difference. And it may not make a difference today. It may not make a difference tomorrow. But we do those things consistently, time after time, over a period of time. They become significant. Some of my character today has been instilled in me over a long period of time. Do you ever tell, let me just ask the moms in the room, do you ever tell your kid one thing one time and then you never have to mention it again? They're going to do that from then on? No. So we have to be consistent in training and teaching, right? Well, if that's the case there, then we need to be consistent in our encouragement. We need to be consistent in our care and our love and the way we treat people. We need to be consistent time after time after time. And they'll get it. They'll get it. And that's not just for mothers. That's for everybody in the room. Consistency. God is consistent. He says, I am the same yesterday and today and forever. I never change. He says, I don't change like the shifting shadows. I'm the same. We could do with some consistency, right? But it's not just consistency for consistency's sake. Try to say that three times fast. It's consistency in the name of Jesus Christ. He's the one that takes the ordinary and makes them extraordinary. So the things that you do that you think nobody notices, God notices. He does. Those things that you think nobody ever gives you credit for, God sees it. And even the people that may not give you credit for it, they're benefiting from you being who you are in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Father, we thank you for this day. For Mother's Day, yes, we thank you, Lord, every day for Mother's Day. We thank you every day for mothers. And Lord, it's just on this day. It's extra special, the day of recognition for those things that we may forget to mention throughout the year. But Father, help us as we look to people who are consistently doing the small things, behind the scenes, the tasks. The things like when we come to church, the carpet is just usually vacuumed. It just doesn't just magically happen. Somebody does that. When we go to the closet and there are things, clean clothes hanging in the closet, that they don't just magically do that. Dishes don't get magically stuck back in the cupboard. Fevers don't get magically soothed by a cool towel. Sorrow doesn't just magically go away without a comforting shoulder. Lord, it's those small things that become significant. They become, like we've been studying about, they become God-sized when they're done in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father, help us to live a life in the ordinary things and watch you turn them into something extraordinary. Lord, thank you for this word of encouragement today for all of us, that what we do matters. Father, help us to do it the right way, for the right reason, and for the right person. And that is you, Father. Your word tells us to do everything as if working unto the Lord. So, Father, help us to love one another. Help us to love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.